Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Russ Terry, founder and CEO of Life Coach Radio Network. Today's sponsor is Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free audiobook when you sign up for a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. That's audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. And now, here's today's show.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the show on Breaking the Cycle of Procrastination with my special guest and certified life coach and speaker, Anna Papa. I'm Sharissa Sebastian, a coach, speaker, and writer, and co-owner of Stop, Smile, Breathe Women's Retreats. I'm a certified life and leadership coach for women, and I hold my certification through the International Coaching Federation. My passion is helping women break free from being stuck, overwhelmed, and stressed, mainly in their professional lives and in the area of work-life balance, to live a life of passion, purpose, joy, and fulfillment. You can find out more information on me and what I do on my website at www.sharissasebastian.com. I'd also like to take a moment to highlight a fabulous women's one-day spa retreat coming up on November 7th in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Part of the proceeds from that event are going to support Hope Store, a local shelter in Plano. You can find out more on my website if you click on the events tab, or you can go to www.stopsmilebreathe.com. Stay tuned until the end of the show for a special discount offer for this event. I'd also like to invite listeners to call in with any comments or questions at any point throughout the show today. That dial-in number is 646-716-9397. Again, the number is 646-716-9397. So let's get into today's show, sponsored by Audible.com. We'll be talking about how to recognize and beat procrastination. And I'm joined once again by my guest, Anna Papa, who is a certified life coach, speaker, and also the co-owner of Stop, Smile, Breathe Women's Retreats. Anna, welcome.
Hi, Sharissa. Thank you so much for having me on your show again.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to have you on. Would you like to take a moment and introduce yourself?
Sure, of course. As Sharissa mentioned, I am a certified life and relationship coach. I am passionate about working with moms who are searching for a more balanced, confident, and happy life. I also help couples to build stronger relationships in which both partners feel loved, appreciated, and understood. And I am also a co-founder of Stop, Smile, Breathe, and have a pleasure to work with Sharissa during our retreats. And if you would like to learn more about me and about my work, please visit my website. It's www.sflifecoaching.com. That's S as in spring, F as in forward, lifecoaching.com. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Anna. So let's jump right into this topic of procrastination. I know we have so much to cover, and I'm so excited to do this particular topic because it's something that I think all of us struggle with, you know, at some point or another in our lives, and sometimes more so than other times. So because we have a lot to cover, let's jump right in, and let's start by talking about what procrastination is, because this is, it can sometimes be a broad term, and so I want to get right into the details of what is it, what is this term procrastination?
I think the favorite definition, and I think the one that I relate the most to, is procrastination defined as delaying or postponing something. And this procrastination is the avoidance of doing a task which needs to be accomplished. And it is the practice of usually doing more pleasurable things in place of less pleasurable ones, or carrying out less urgent tasks in preference to more urgent ones. And, you know, people, just like you said, Sharissa, I know that I do struggle with this still from time to time. And you know, people procrastinate in many different areas of their lives. They might procrastinate personal issues, just like, for example, raising a stressful issue with a partner. They might procrastinate their health issues, like just seeing a doctor or a dentist, or even home care issues as housework.
Oh, absolutely.
And also
and
the
I
most d- important
I
idea.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I just wanted to say that, of course, one of the most important things also is the procrastination regarding work or our academic obligations.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And I think you hit on so many of the main ones, the main reasons, or not reasons, but the main areas that we tend to procrastinate. And as you were saying that, I was standing here nodding my head thinking, yep, I procrastinate in that area and in that area and the other area. And so one of the things I wanted to highlight that you said that I think is really, really key in that definition is that it's the avoidance of doing a task that needs to be accomplished. And that word needs just really jumps out to me because I think that is so true when it comes to procrastination. Mm-hmm. We know it's something that we need to do in some area of our life, but for whatever reason, we tend to put it off. Maybe it's something that we don't know what the outcome is going to be and we're fearful of the outcome, or we just don't like doing it. It may be something that we know we need to, we have to do, but it's just not something that excites us or, you know, that makes us feel excited to actually do it. So great, great definition there of procrastination. Thank you, Anna.
Oh, you're welcome.
So one of the other things that comes up as it relates to procrastination is this difference between pondering and procrastination. And this is kind of a fine line because sometimes there's times or there's decisions that we need to make. And sometimes it's good to wait it, you know, wait it out, maybe take some time to do some research and talk to people before jumping in and making that decision. And it can be kind of tricky to determine whether we're pondering and, you know, kind of trying to tap into our intuition to determine the right time to do something or whether it really is just procrastination and we need to just get on with it and move mm-hmm. forward. So what are your thoughts
yes.
on that?
You know, I agree with you, Sharissa, that sometimes it might be a good thing. Sometimes maybe it's better just to do it and not procrastinate. So in my opinion, it really does depend on the situation. We need to really determine what the consequences are for not getting the job done. Just like you mentioned, if this is something that we truly know that needs to be done, we have a deadline that we need to meet, and we know that there are going to be negative consequences if we don't get this job done, it's probably better not to wait too long. But in other cases, if there is no deadline to be met and we don't necessarily have any negative consequences, if we wait more, it might be actually a good thing because many times decisions that we need to make or the way we need to complete a given task require some reflections. So we might want to wait for inspiration or just listen to our intuition before getting this job done or decision made.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And you've given us such a great tool or just a simple question to ask ourselves when it comes to whether we do need to wait or whether we need to take action, and that is whether, you know, whether there's going to be a negative consequence as a result of us waiting. Because I think that's something easy for us to ask ourselves mm-hmm. and to determine whether or not we really need to move forward with it so we avoid that consequence, or maybe we need to try to, you know, just wait and think about it some more and to try to figure out what is the right thing to do. And I think another part of that also is sometimes the timing may not be right. So there've been situations in my life where, you know, I had something on my mm-hmm. to-do list, and even though I knew it's something that I just needed to get done, and it was actually reaching out to somebody, which didn't come easy for me at that time, especially, you know, starting my own business and doing that and reaching out and speaking to someone about my business wasn't something I enjoyed doing, even though I loved what I did. Mm-hmm. but that part of it was a little bit tough for me. So I had this on my to-do list, and I kind of procrastinated, and I waited, and but it turned out that as a result of me waiting a certain period of time, and I just didn't feel something in me, just I think it was more intuitive, like something was like, no, you don't need to do this right now, even though logically I'm saying every day I would look at my list and go, oh, I need to do that, but I just didn't really feel that urge to do it. But it turned out that when I did make, you know, when I reached out and reached out to that person, the timing was actually better than if I had done it previously. So I think one of the other parts to that is really taking time to try to tap into your intuition and see from that perspective if it is not, if it doesn't have any negative consequence, like if holding back doesn't have a negative consequence, like you said, maybe we do need to like be still and really ask ourselves, is this the right time for me to do this? Is this the right time to make a decision? Is this the right time for me to move forward?
Yes, I really love what you just said about taking your time and about the feelings that you had inside of you while you didn't get your job done. And I think that that's the other part of, you know, us dealing with procrastination. First one are those questions that we talked about. Is it a deadline that I need to meet? What are the consequences? And the second part are exactly the feelings. Because for me, the easiest way really to recognize that we are procrastinating is noticing those emotions that we feel. Because procrastinating often comes with very unpleasant feelings. So in your case, you didn't jump to your to-do list because you kind of felt that your intuition was telling you that maybe it's not that important, that it's okay to wait. But if it's a true procrastination, I feel that the true procrastination is associated with many emotions that we consider negative, like stress and fear of not knowing what to do or how to do it, overwhelm, avoidance. So that's another thing for me, you know, that it's helpful in recognizing, okay, do I really need to have this job done? Do I really need to make this decision now? Do I procrastinate? You know, just to recognize what's going on inside of you.
Absolutely. And I think also a part of that, recognizing that we are procrastinating, like you said, there's all of those emotions that come up and all of those things that are, you know, that don't make us feel good, like the stress and the fear of not knowing what to do or how we're going to do it. And then that overwhelm and all of that really does tie into to us feeling like, you know, we're kind of stuck. And so that's one way to recognize when we're procrastinating.
Yes.
Yeah, so how does procrastination impact us or affect us? I know we've already covered this, and you've spoken a lot about this, Anna, but is there anything else that you'd like to cover as far as how procrastination impacts us or affects us?
Sure. I think that, you know, if we are like chronic procrastinators and doing it all the time, it really can affect so many areas of our lives. One of the most visible one, I think, is just our confidence and self-esteem. Because we might just feel that we are not progressing in a given task because of lack of skills or knowledge. And then, you know, we just don't feel good about ourselves, which, again, lowers our confidence. It also might impact our finances and career if procrastination is related to our work. And if we don't meet, right, certain deadline, we might not get paid for our work or even lose a job if it happens continuously. It also can affect even our relationships if we have tendency to, you know, put our loved ones off. So we can make them feel less important. And it can also, you know, this procrastination can also deplete the sense of teamwork if you are in a relationship, even a working relationship. And there is a job that needs to be done and you are procrastinated your part of a project, it might negatively impact your relationships because your coworker will feel like you don't care about them and you're putting their success in jeopardy. So, yeah, many, many areas of our life really can be affected by such innocent-looking procrastination.
Absolutely. And I love what you just said about how the different areas, you know, we can identify it in different areas of our lives as well. Like you talked about relationship and then also in your career and that kind of thing. And it also goes back to that question that you spoke about earlier about asking, is there a negative mm-hmm. consequence? And so, for example, if you relate that to what you just said in the workplace, that negative consequence would be that it's going to impact my teammates. Or if you think about it in terms of relationship mm-hmm. and you ask yourself this question, then that the answer to that question would be, yes, it's going to impact my relationship. And not just that, but often what happens is if you procrastinate in one area, that procrastination, like we talked about, is going to cause you stress, and you're going to have all these negative emotions building up on you, in you. So it's not just going to impact that particular area that you're procrastinating in. It's going to have an impact on every single area of your life, like you said, with your confidence, with your self-esteem, and then that's going to feed into all of those other areas as well.
Oh, yes, I agree 100%.
So how do we overcome this guilt and overwhelm? Because that's so much related to procrastination. I definitely know this from firsthand experience. When I tend to procrastinate on things that I know need to get done, I often have this sense of guilt, like, oh, you know, that was on my list and it should have been done already. And then I start to feel overwhelmed because, of course, as you know, we're all, you know, we're so busy. Our list constantly gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And then we're looking at these things that we feel like we should have done. And it's still on our list. It's still coming up all the time, but we still put it off. So how do we overcome that sense of guilt and overwhelm when it comes to procrastinating on certain things?
I know that feeling. Guilt is a very tricky one, and it surely does get us very often. But I really think that the main thing is just to recognize that we can't change the past. Right, so it already happened. We decided not to do the task or didn't accomplish it as quickly as we should. That happened. It's past. We can't really change it. So dwelling over it will not help us at all. So the only choice we have right now is to move forward, right, and focus on now, on the present, and focus more on the future. So instead of investing in this energy in beating ourselves up for not doing something, it's better just to invest it in focusing on what's important at this point to move forward, to get us closer to that goal.
Right. Yeah, I totally agree with you. There's something to be said for being present in the moment versus focusing on the past, which actually can lead to depression. When you focus so much on the guilt and regret of the past, that can easily lead down that road to depression, which, of course, you know, nobody wants to do that. And then on the other side of things, if we're so anxious and fearful of what will happen if we do move forward, then that can lead to anxiety when we focus so much on the future. So that's one way I like to kind of think about it in terms of when I find myself thinking back at the past, and like you said, we can't go back there. So it really helps to maybe reframe that and say, you know what, even if I didn't do what I was supposed to do or I think I should have done in the past, there's a reason for everything. Maybe it was supposed to, you know, maybe that whatever it was I was supposed to do was supposed to wait until later on and all of that. So everything happens for a reason. And I think if we reframe that, we can really, it'll help us to focus on the present and what we can do right now and then focus on, okay, where is it that we want to go? And on the flip side of that, with the anxiety and not getting into that space of anxiety is, again, to focus on the present, not be so worried about the outcome, but focusing on what where we are right now and what we need to do to get us moving in the direction that we want to move in.
Yes.
So I know there's a lot of reasons, and we could probably talk forever on the reasons that we procrastinate, but I thought it would be good to just touch on some of those areas. You know, like, why do we procrastinate? What are some of the reasons why we tend to do this?
Let me start from the one that I'm most often procrastinate in. That is, I think that for me, and I believe for a lot of other people, it comes from prioritizing. So I'm talking about here about procrastinating things that maybe there is no necessary deadline to do them. They might be smaller things that we perceive as less important, you know, like going for my physical or going for a dentist checkup. So I just, you know, sometimes people, we just don't feel like we need to do this certain task at this particular time. So this is one of the reasons. Just comes from prioritizing. You think that you've got more important things to do at the given time and put this one particular off for later. And then another one is avoiding this discomfort when taking us out of our comfort zone. So for example, if we need to make a decision about ending a particular relationship or quitting your job, we might know that it might involve a lot of unpleasant feelings and negative emotions, and we just try simply to avoid it, sometimes even subconsciously. So we just put in this decision-making or this task off and off just to not feel all that, you know, things that are just not in our comfort zone.
Right. Yeah, that makes a lot of... Yeah,
another one might be fear of failure or fear of success. You know, so especially for the entrepreneurs, they are thinking about starting a new business or making some big changes in their lives, but they still on the back of their head have that they might fail, or for some, unconsciously, they might be afraid that they actually will succeed, and that will definitely change their lives as they know for sure. So that's another reason why they might not feel like they are ready to do it now and just procrastinate.
Oh, those are some really, really good points. And another thing that came up for me while you were talking is that, and I think you mentioned this as well, I know you touched on this, is that trade-off that we get sometimes, like from picking a task that is maybe less important, on, you know, something that we mm-hmm. we should maybe, you know, kind of put on the back burner, but we tend to focus on those tasks to avoid the thing that we really mm-hmm. don't want to do. And so there's that trade-off between being busy or keeping ourselves busy and occupied so that we don't do the things that are really important that we need to do, but that we put off. And then part of that also is this, is what happens with our these endorphins, these chemicals that our body mm-hmm. produces. Because what happens is if we go for the quick wins or the quick fixes, or we focus more on the things that we like to do, like if we put off a task that we don't like, a simple example is like if we have chores around the house or we have laundry or something like that, and mm-hmm. we put that off, our favorite TV show is on, and we'd much rather do that. And so what happens in our body is we get this kind of payoff from doing that because our body, we produce this dopamine that makes us feel good in the moment. But as you know, like with something like that, after the fact, we often end up with this guilt, like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Yes. I should have, you know, done the laundry or cleaned, you know, the dishes or whatever it is. So there's that that's taken into consideration as well, as far as what we choose to do versus the things that we know we should do.
Yes, that's right, because just like you mentioned, here's that guilt again. And then on top of it, right, if every time there is a TV show or something more fun to do than your dishes, your laundry and other stuff, here we are, we end up just with bigger and longer to-do list, and then we are even more overwhelmed and more stressed. So it's just this one vicious cycle.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it is good to ask those powerful questions. So, for example, in that simple example, and you can apply this, you know, we can apply this to any situation mm-hmm. where we feel like we're procrastinating, and that is to ask, why is it, you know, why are we procrastinating? Why am I putting this off? And just see what, you know, kind of mm-hmm. in a non-judgmental way, just see what thoughts come up for us. And I know that's worked actually really well for me when I take the time to just stop and be aware of what I'm doing or mm-hmm. not doing and ask, you know, ask yourself, why am I putting this off? And oftentimes if you're just, you know, if you're really like relaxed and not in high stress when you ask yourself that question, mm-hmm. something will come up for you. And that way, you know, you're kind of intuitively tapping into the real reason why you're procrastinating, and then you can more effectively kind of deal with that and move forward.
Yes, this is great what you said, and it just makes me think again about our emotions. sometimes we procrastinate simply because of those emotional barriers that we have. So it's nice to, you know, to make those decisions and work on our tasks while we are relaxed, just like you said, because sometimes we can simply procrastinate only because we are too tired over, you know, we're just too tired to tackle that job, or we are too stressed. And that all this prevents us from taking action. Or we might be too excited, you know, maybe something else is happening in our life, or even about given task. We may be so excited and have so many thoughts running through our head and see so many different options, almost too many options of how to complete this task, that we kind of procrastinate again. So it's definitely important to kind of check what's going on internally.
Yes, that's so true. And one of the things that you just mentioned was being excited. And that's not something we typically think about. I think that's one thing that we don't often associate with a reason for us procrastinating. But I can think of a very simple example for me of times when I was so excited about something, like a vacation, for example. And I tend to say, oh, you know, yeah, I'm going on vacation maybe tomorrow, and I can put the stuff off until I come back because I'm so excited, you know, to go away and to relax and things like that. And I tend to put off some of the things that I should have done, should have maybe taken care of beforehand. And I'm like, oh, you know, I'll do that when I come back. So I can definitely see how something like that, even though you're excited about something, but that can also lead to us procrastinating.
Yeah, happened to me too. Many times.
Yeah, and again, but that also goes back to maybe, you know, maybe it wasn't the right time to do something. Because some of those tasks, maybe you don't want to do those tasks right before you go off on a vacation, right? So there could be another meaning to that. Maybe there's a reason why you put it off until you come back.
Yeah.
That's a good way to
explain it to ourselves. But, you know, it's again, I think if there is okay, this is not a deadline that you need to meet in order to avoid some really negative consequences. Just like we said, sometimes it's okay. It's not always the end of the world. We can beat ourselves out over procrastination if there is really no long-term consequences for it, because it might be something that requires more thoughts, more research, more time, your intuition. So yeah, it sometimes it's just the best you can do.
Right. Yeah, and just going back to that same example about going away on vacation, like you said, if it does have a negative consequence, and if you're going to be stressed out on vacation thinking about this thing that you should have done, then maybe it is a good idea to try to prioritize that and get it done beforehand. Absolutely.
Do it before. Exactly.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about this area of confidence. We mentioned it earlier, like, you know, the fact that procrastination can have an impact on our confidence and our self-esteem and the way we value ourselves. So let's talk a little bit about that, Anna, as it relates to procrastination.
Well, I think that very often what happens to people, especially if this is something in common with your academic progress or with your work, maybe a new project, we do procrastinate because we just don't believe in our abilities, or we feel that we lack knowledge of something in order to make this work or to complete that task. And of course, when we are wrapped up in those negative emotions and think that we are not good enough to complete that task, it will negatively show in our confidence and even in our self-esteem.
Yes, I definitely agree with you. And one of the things that came to mind as you were saying that is talking about a work situation is sometimes we don't feel like we're good enough. And sometimes we have this task to do and it just seems like it's going to stretch us so much because we feel like we don't have the ability to do it. But then also we procrastinate on getting the help that we need. Mm-hmm. So even if we sometimes feel like we don't have all of the answers, we don't know how to do it, we can procrastinate because we're coming from that space of lack of self-confidence because we don't have confidence in ourselves. We feel kind of nervous to reach out to somebody else and be vulnerable and say, you know, I need help with it. So instead of doing that, we procrastinate, and then it gets worse because then we have all of the sense of stress, and it just compounds from there.
Yes.
So one of the other ways to think through that is to say, what is this going to cost me if I don't do something about this? If I let this fear get the best of me and I keep putting it off, what is it? Like you were saying earlier, it goes back to what is the consequence? Because sometimes just focusing on that and realizing that it does have a consequence will sometimes help us to get into action.
I agree with you. I think that it's really one of the most important things to check are the consequences. And then kind of figuring out the plan, you know, how again, referring to your confidence, the being stuck if I don't have a knowledge, if you still need to accomplish that goal or, you know, do this task won't be helpful. And I know it's easier said than done because we talked so much about confidence too, and we do our retreats on confidence so often as well to help people with this issue. But it really is just working even on your confidence may kind of help you with procrastinating in this work area as well, because then you've got all those tools knowing, okay, what do I need to do in order to complete the task if I believe that this is lack of my knowledge that keeps me away from completing the task. Maybe I do need to just, you know, do some more research, learn some new things, ask around my co-workers, just educate myself.
Yes.
So it's just one of the examples.
No, that's a great example because it really touches on the core of self-confidence. Because if we, self-confidence and also self-esteem, because if we believe in ourselves and our value and that, you know, that we have the ability to, and there's nothing wrong with asking for help. We have the ability to figure things out. And so if we truly believe that and that's part of who we are, then it makes it a lot easier and a lot less stressful for us to go out there and ask for the help and do the research and do all of those things rather than us procrastinating. And that's actually one of the big reasons that we chose the topic of self-confidence when it comes to, you know, just if, when it comes to our retreats, because it does impact every single area of our lives. And it just underlies, you know, all of the, a lot of times it underlies the stress and overwhelm that we feel. When we really get to the core of it, a lot of times it comes down to us not feeling like we have what it takes or we're not good enough or all of those things. And so I really encourage you ladies, if there's any ladies listening, to come out and join us at one of our retreats, because that's really where we go a lot deeper and go into the area of, you know, what do I need to do to get more confident. And so that's just a really nice kind of environment and a really good opportunity to do that and to help build your self-confidence. So, yeah, thanks for bringing that up, Anna, because I think that's such a good point and, again, another big reason why we decided to do the retreats in that area.
Yeah, it just ties up naturally, you know, somehow with one another when we start thinking about this. Those two are so related to one another.
Absolutely. So I'm going to switch gears here since we're about halfway through the show and then take this opportunity to let our listeners know that the show on Breaking the Cycle of Procrastination is happy to be sponsored by Audible.com. So Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment and information. They have more than 150,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen on any device. If you sign up at our URL, audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio, you get one free audiobook and a month free trial of the service. And we really appreciate your support. And once again, if any of our listeners have any questions or comments, please feel free to call us at 646-716-9397. Okay, so let's get back into this topic of procrastination. So, Anna, we've talked about so many different things that, you know, or reasons why we procrastinate. So we talked about the fear of success and the fear of failure. Fear of the unknown is another big one as well. And then we've also touched on self-esteem, lack of confidence. The other thing that I wanted to mention as well is when we tend to be overwhelmed. So I think that's another area that I would love to spend a couple of minutes on. So this feeling of overwhelm can also keep us stuck and keep us in this area of procrastination. So what are your thoughts on that aspect?
Oh, yes, definitely. I'm glad you brought it up because I agree with you that just being overwhelmed is one of those reasons that people do procrastinate. And, you know, it might just come from different places. You might be either overwhelmed because the decision or the task that you need to tackle is just so big and so important to you personally that you just don't know what to expect, and you are focusing maybe on what are the, you know, like on the worst. What is the worst that can happen if you make wrong decision or if you don't complete the task the way you envision? That we again are trying to, I think, avoid the negative consequences or negative emotions, and that's when this overwhelm just shows up for us.
Right, and one of the things you just mentioned is when we feel that the task is too big. So one of the things that, mm-hmm. that will help that with that is just to take the time, and I know often we don't do this because we're so focused on the end result, we're so focused on getting it done, that we don't take a step back and really sit down and think about, okay, so what is the next baby step? What's the next small thing that I can mm-hmm. do to get me moving in that right direction? Because often what happens is that when you just take a baby step, even if that means, you know, you need to pick up the phone and ask somebody a question to help you get moving, or just something small, often when we take that initial step, all it takes is us getting that momentum going. Once we take the first step, then it's easy for us to keep going. It's like, oh, okay, now I got that done, now I can move on to the next thing. And before you know it, the task is done. And sometimes, you know, even if we don't know the next step, like even if it feels overwhelming because we don't know the steps that we need to take, but then just taking one step opens up the doors and it's like, oh, okay, so let me just, what if I do this? What if I call somebody and ask for help? Or what if I just do some research to figure this out? And then it just kind of, one thing leads to another, and before you know it, you figured it out and it's done. And you don't have to worry about, you know, procrastinating and putting it off anymore.
Oh, yes, I love what you just said, Charissa, because this is one of my beliefs. That the one of the best way to overcome procrastination is to take that first step. Because just like you said, it's all about action. It will make us feel so much better, even if we do the smallest step. That overwhelm will diminish or at least lessen immediately. Our confidence will, you know, be better in this situation, because we will build some confidence because we feel as we accomplish something already, we are closer to the end result. So yes, definitely, just taking that first step.
Oh, and I love that phrase. In fact, I just wrote it down that you just said, it's all about action. It's so true. It is so true, because again, it goes back to the way our body reacts to action as well. Mm-hmm. Like even if we don't mm-hmm. have all of the answers for what we're supposed to do, the minute you take action, your body automatically produces dopamine because you're in action. You're moving towards that yes. next. So you tend to feel better about it. So you no longer feel so overwhelmed and stressed, and you feel like, oh, you know what, if I can do this, I feel good about doing this, so I'm going to, you know, I'm going to feel better about moving and getting it done. So I'm going to totally take this phrase of yours, Anna, and put it up, because I love it. It's all about action, and it's mm-hmm. so true.
Yeah, and you know, I want to chime in here, and listening to you, it just came to my mind that really, even if we take that first step, it's kind of unsuccessful, it doesn't bring us closer to the task, it still will make us feel better and less overwhelmed, because at least we know that we did something. So it's again just that conscious thought of doing something, just knowing that you started, automatically makes us feel better.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And it also gives us permission to go out there and just try something.
Yes.
Because like you just said,
that's
even
right.
if it doesn't turn out as we expect, at least we're taking action. And then that will spur us to think of something else that we can do, and so on, until, you know, it's all, you know, it's done, and then we don't even have to worry about it anymore.
Yes.
So what are some other ways that we can overcome procrastination?
You know, I think that this one kind of relates to what we were just talking about. It's just trying not to get overwhelmed, not to look at this giant task ahead of us, but kind of divide it in the smaller ones. You mentioned it before, but I think it's so important that it's worth kind of repeating. Just take this big task and make a plan of how can you divide it into the smaller task, and just start and make sure that you put the, if there is no deadline, but you know that you need to accomplish it anyway, just make this deadline your own. Just make up a date and then accordingly plan and make sure that you will, you know, even if it's a 5 minutes a day, make sure that you will dedicate some time to complete that task, to start, you know, to start working on it.
Yes, absolutely. And actually, that's something that I stumbled upon just recently about the, you were talking about, you know, that a timer or just make some, even if it's 5 minutes, there's actually this whole mm-hmm. new thing now out there where they even sell, and I don't remember the name of this program or the product, but they actually sell like a, you know, like those kitchen timers that you get that you can set mm-hmm. for like five
yes.
minutes. 20 minutes, and it's actually a whole program designed around time management and how even if you just set it for 5 minutes and you condition yourself to say, okay, at this time, like maybe from noon to 12:05, I'm going to work mm-hmm. on this task. And it goes back to what you were saying about, like, once you get that momentum going, then you're off. I mean, you don't have to stick to the 5 minutes. It can take a little bit longer, but the important thing is it helps to get you started.
Yes, and it makes a lot of sense. It is, and you know, it really makes a lot of sense because if we really, even if we just say, right, we call it 5 minutes, and we will think that we will just dedicate those short amount of time in doing this task. If we are truly in that moment and that space and we put everything else on the side and focus on this task, there is a big chance that 5 minutes will turn into 30 minutes or an hour. Because you know how it is, it's just hard to start. But then when you are really in this moment and seriously think about the job that needs to be done, all of a sudden it's not a problem anymore. All those creative juices start to flow and here you are, hour or 2 hours later into your task, closer to the end result.
Absolutely. And I actually just found the little timer that I was talking about. It's called the Pomodoro Technique. And there's a whole, you know, like a whole book and a whole program around how to be more productive and how to stop procrastination. It actually is very specific. It says, you know, how to overcome procrastination, and then also it'll help you with time management. So there's definitely something to be said for what you just mentioned. And that's a really great tip. And you don't need to get into a program like that to use this. You can even just set a timer on your phone and just make sure that you stick to that. And when that timer goes off, you know immediately to focus on that task.
You know, I think that, I mean, I don't know the program, but something that came to my mind also while we are talking about a way to overcome procrastination is having someone that keeps you accountable. So it's great to have that timer, right, and set it up. At least you've got this time already dedicated to your task. But then there is also have something or someone that keeps you accountable for sticking to this plan and to those 5 minutes. So, you know, I don't know, again, I don't know the program that you mentioned, but maybe they have some way of tracking of your progress. And, you know, us as life coaches, we really can appreciate the value of accountability. We know that this is one of the things that is helpful for our clients, is that they have another person who just checks in with them and see if they really do what they are supposed to do, and if not, what is the reason behind it.
Absolutely, because sometimes we don't know. It doesn't come to us immediately why we find ourselves procrastinating. Sometimes we can ask ourselves, mm-hmm. but it's not obvious. And like you said,
yeah.
through the coaching process is another great way to not only have an accountability, you know, somebody to hold us accountable, but also to dig deeper and say, okay, so why we see it, there's some kind of pattern going on here. What is
mm-hmm.
behind it? Why are you procrastinating? And let's get to the core of this so that you can overcome it once and for all, and then you can, you know, break free and break through that cycle of procrastination.
Yes, especially, and here we are again, the things that we mentioned before. We might do it just because we do fear a failure or a success, but it might also turn out that maybe those tasks are not really important to us, and that really we even subconsciously are okay with the negative emotions they are coming with this or negative consequences, because really the task, for whatever reason, it's not something that we want to do.
Oh, and that makes me think about something else as well. The words that kept coming up for me as you were saying that was people-pleasing. Like sometimes we put things on our list because we feel like we should do those tasks. They're not necessarily our priorities, but we make them our priorities without even realizing it because we feel like we have to live up to a certain standard or we have to do certain things maybe for other people or something that other people mm-hmm. expect of us.
Yes.
And like we were saying earlier, yes. sometimes there's something that underlies that that we don't even realize. We may have this, and this goes back to the self-confidence and self-esteem. We may have a subconscious belief that we're not good enough and we have to constantly mm-hmm. Look to other people for validation and do things because we feel like we should do it because of what others might think. So that's just another yeah. angle, another way to look at that. But again, to go back to your point, that's something that a coach can help you, you know, uncover as well to try to figure out, okay, what really is going on underneath that? Why are you putting things on your list that maybe are not as important to you, but you feel like you need to get them done?
Yes, I agree with you in this one as well.
And then just to kind of take a step back to go from what we were talking about in terms of how we can overcome procrastination, I think a big part of it also is we tend to, and this is just a natural tendency for us, we tend to look to the past a lot and regret and feel overwhelmed by the things that we haven't accomplished yet and all of that. So I think a big part to overcoming procrastination is to really forgive ourselves, like genuinely forgive ourselves for not taking action mm-hmm. up to that point. Because if we don't, then our energy is going to be consumed and our focus is going to be consumed in the past. And as we all know, we can't go back and change that. So it's really a waste of energy to do that because it's going to take
yeah.
away from us really doing the task that we need to. So forgiving ourselves is not easy, but it's absolutely necessary for us to be able to move forward most effectively.
Definitely, yes. It will not help us at all to be stuck in the past and, you know, feeling guilty and blaming ourselves for not doing it. It definitely will not help.
Right. And one of the things I like to think about, just a little phrase, is that we don't get a second chance at the past, but we can determine how we move forward. So that helps to kind of keep me in the present also, so that I'm not focused on should have, would have, could have done it in the past, but I'm more focused on, okay,
yes.
what do I need to do right now? What do I need to focus on now so that I can move forward in the direction that I need to go in?
That's right.
Yeah, and then one of the other things that you mentioned, Anna, was the accountability. And I think in addition to that is to not only have somebody to hold us accountable, but also to be able to reward ourselves, because we don't often take time to celebrate our successes, even if they're small. They might be small successes, but we often are so concerned about getting to that big goal at the end that we don't reward ourselves for taking steps in the right direction, even though they're baby steps. But
mm-hmm.
we really need to do that because, again, it goes back to the way our bodies are wired. If we do take the time to appreciate how far we've come and the things that we have done, no matter how small, it really helps to motivate us to keep moving forward. So I think creating that reward, so you can even set it up for yourself so that, you know, once you do a certain task, then you'll reward yourself by, you know, by doing something. It can be something really small, but whatever it is, just take that time to acknowledge yourself and reward yourself for that, because that's going to give you the motivation to move forward as well. And then another part of that also is a consequence for not completing the task. And I know this is not something easy to think about, but maybe, so for example, say there's a weight loss goal that you're working on. And I definitely say this from my own experience because I'm in the process of trying to eat better myself. And so one of the things that I like to do is to say, okay, so if I if I am able to stick to my plan, my meal plan, say for 4 out of 5 days in the week, then maybe at the end of the week I can reward myself with something. But then on the flip side of that, if I am not able to do that, then maybe I don't. Like, I don't get a dessert at the end of the week or something. You know, that sounds silly, but that's just an example of how we can associate these consequences or these rewards to help us to overcome this procrastination, especially if it's something that we know we absolutely need to do and need to accomplish.
Oh, so, I really like that, Charissa. I really like what you just said. It's not silly at all. I think that it's great, and this is kind of, you know, like you're keeping yourself accountable for your decision and for your progress in reaching your goal. I think that's great, and yes, it definitely might be a great way to beat procrastination, just to make this low reward system for yourself. And yes, appreciate yourself whenever you're getting closer to that goal and celebrate. And, you know, and like you said, for some people also this negative association works well. So, you know, you might be losing the privilege of having a dessert if you don't stick to this diet. I really like that.
Yeah, and that goes really hand in hand with what you were saying about accountability, because then you can discuss that with whoever is holding you accountable. It could be a friend or coach, whoever it is. You can say, okay, so I need to be held accountable to this task, and then I want you to know that when my goal for myself is once I complete this task, then this is going to be my reward. And so that way your accountability buddy or your accountability partner can also keep you motivated by saying, okay, remember, this is tough right now, but once you get through this, you know, look at what's waiting for you, what that reward that's going to be waiting for you. So, yeah, I think that can really tie in well with your accountability partner and having that set up. And so one of the other things that just came to mind as far as how do we overcome this procrastination is when it comes to our environment. And, again, this is something that sometimes we overlook and we don't necessarily think about setting up our environment for success. And so what I mean by that is it can be something as small as setting an alarm, like Anna was talking about, scheduling that time to do something, or maybe put a reminder somewhere where you can see it. If it's something especially that you need to do on a daily basis, maybe it's a routine that you're trying to stick to, you can put a sticky note next to your bed or in front of on your bathroom mirror or on your computer, whatever it is, to be a visual reminder so that you remember to do those things that that you need to do. And then on the flip side of that, we're talking about distractions, and this is something I am by far is probably my biggest distraction is the phone, my cell phone. So maybe you need to put it off in that time that you're scheduling to do a certain task, or maybe you just put it out of the way so you're not constantly looking at it or it's not beeping while you're trying to get something done. So all of that falls under this this idea of setting up your environment for success.
Yes, this is a great tip. Oh, no, I just wanted to say that this is a great tip that you just brought up too. The environment can influence definitely the way we work and we focus so much. So, yes, it's so many different things for different people. And, you know, and it might be opposite. Like for my husband, he actually does need to have a background noise. I guess for so many years he used to work in the offices, you know, shared with other people, that he works actually much better when the TV is on somewhere, you know, quiet. Mm-hmm. For me, it's the opposite. I need to have complete silence in order to focus. So whatever works for you, I think each of us is different and we know what help us focus on getting the job done. And yes, just making sure that you set this environment to your mental abilities, and for whatever helps you, keep it there. Whatever distracts you, try to get rid of it as much as possible.
Yes, that's so true. And one of the other things as well with talking about the environment, it's also keeping things organized. I know it's easier for some people than others, because some people actually prefer, like you were saying, we all have different preferences and different ways we like to, you know, different environments we like to work in. Some people can work just fine in, you know, in an environment that's not necessarily completely like neat and tidy and organized, whereas other people, that's really a subconscious barrier almost to them being able to get work done. Like, I know I'm one of those people for sure. Not that, you know, my environment is always neat and tidy, but I tend to to want to at least look at, you know, have my environment set up in some kind of organized fashion, because I feel like that clears, you know, that just helps me for some reason.
Yes.
Able to focus when I know that, okay, everything around me is where it needs to be, it's in place. So, yeah, especially but being a mom, we all know how that could be. That could be a challenge when you're wired that way. So I've learned over the years to not be as focused on keeping everything, you know, exactly right and exactly organized. But there's definitely that trade-off, that balance between the way I work best in terms of environment and then also being able to relax about it and not being completely, you know, rigid when it comes to setting up my environment.
You need to stay with me after show and give me some of the tips how to relax about not so organizing, because I still do, you know, I still do not know how to deal with this, and it distracts me greatly from my job.
Oh, you're too funny. For me, it definitely took it took some getting used to for me to really say. But again, it goes back to what we were talking about earlier about that awareness. Like, I had to literally stop myself in the moment and say, why am I feeling this way? You know, why am I feeling so stressed and overwhelmed? And then I had to ask myself those questions as far as, you know, is this really important? How much is this? And then what is the compromise that I need to make? Maybe it's not as organized as I wanted, but is there some kind of point where I'm going to be okay with it? And I think that's the kind of the process that I had to work through. And I had to get to that point where, you know what, it's okay if everything is not completely perfect. I need to just get to a certain point where it's not completely chaotic, but it also doesn't have to be completely perfect. And that is a process for sure. It took me a while to go through that. But yeah, I mean, there's some
times now. But there is a chance that it gets better.
Oh, yes, it gets better for sure, for sure. I know it was definitely more challenging when my kiddo was a little bit younger, for sure. Yeah, especially when you're tripping over toys and getting hurt, and yeah, that's not good. Yeah, that's not fun, and it's not easy to be able to stay focused and completely calm. And yeah, so I know what you're talking about, Anna. I know what you mean, but it does get easier, you know, over time. So,
Good.
Oh, and we're at the top of the hour already. This is crazy. This hour just flew right by. So I wanted to give you an opportunity to talk maybe a little bit about the retreat, because I think it ties in so well with what you were just talking about, you know, that the fact that our confidence and our self-esteem, and if that is kind of shaken, then it does lead to procrastination, and kind of it can really underlie and underpin the reasons why we procrastinate. So I wanted to take a moment and give our listeners the opportunity to hopefully come out and see us at the retreat, because I think if this is a topic that resonates with all of you listening in, as far as procrastination goes, if you identify with that, then working on your self-esteem and your self-confidence is really going to go a long way in helping you to overcome procrastination. I definitely say this from first-hand experience, and then also from watching other people work through this, and then really when, you know, watching them figure out that, yeah, it does really have a big part to play in procrastination. So, Anna, would you like to take a moment and tell everyone about the retreat coming up on November 7th? Just a little bit about the retreat.
Oh, I am so excited about this retreat, just like about all of our retreats. But like you mentioned, the topic of confidence is just so important to all of us. So yes, our another one is coming soon, November 7th in Dallas-Fort Worth area. And during this retreat, you have a chance just to figure out what's stopping you from being a confident. And we just share with other ladies, share with us different ways of believing in yourself, in being the most confident you. It's just lots of, it's fun, but it's also a lot of deep work, and I just love it. It's just hard to describe. It's one of those experiences. You just need to be there and, you know, and experience it. I just love it.
Oh, I love that. Yes, and one of the other things that I wanted to add to that as well is that dynamic of being in a group and being in person. There's just something to be said for being in an environment with like-minded people who are all there for the same reason, and having the opportunity to talk through some of these things. And, of course, Anna and I are going to be there to help as well, and to give you some insight and some tools some really, you know, quick, easy tips and tools on how to really, truly tap into your self-confidence and bring that out. But there's nothing like a live event to be able to have the biggest transformation that you can get versus maybe, you know, reading an article or something like that. There's really a huge difference when you're there in person, when you're focused, and when you're totally engaged in the experience. So that's one of the big reasons that we decided to start these retreats. And then also with this area of self-confidence and self-esteem, it works just so well in that environment to be able to really, really assist our guests in that area and to be able to help. So it's just wonderful to see how that unfolds during this event. So I highly encourage all of you to come out. If you're not in the Dallas area, please come out and join us. And if you are, we'll be having this retreat on November 7th, and we would love to see you there. And then, like I mentioned at the beginning of the show, we also have a special offer for those of you on the line, and that is that if you buy one ticket to the event and you bring a friend, you get the second ticket for half off when you use the code half off. So it's H-A-L-F-O-F-F, no space. And if you go ahead and select that option on our page, you'll get half off the second ticket, which is just incredible. So I'm really looking forward to seeing you out there. And again, that website is stopsmilebreathe.com. And there you'll see under the upcoming retreat section, you'll see a link to this event on November 7th. So Anna, with that, is there any closing thoughts that you had? And also, please can you give our listeners your email address again and then your website as well?
Of course. Thank you again for having me on the show. Thank you to all the listeners for joining us tonight. It was such a pleasure to talk to you, Sharissa, again. And I guess my final thought is that we just need to realize that we all procrastinate from time to time. And if you have something important to do or a decision to make, follow those two steps. Ask yourself a question. Is there a deadline? What are the consequences of not completing the task? And then another way, check what's going on with you internally. Are you stressed out about the situation? Do you feel overwhelmed? Then it's probably a good idea to just get right on this task and have it done and get over it. If you feel kind of in peace about not doing it at this particular moment, maybe it is a sign that you just need more time to make that decision. Maybe you need to listen to what your intuition is telling you. My final thought about procrastination. And if you want to know about me, again, my website is www.sfasinspringfasinforwardlifecoaching.com, and you can find my email and phone number right there on my website.
Great. Thank you so much, Anna. It's been such a pleasure, as always, to have you on the show and to share this platform with you and also get some of your wisdom. And I know our listeners have absolutely appreciated that. So thank you again for your time. And I really, really appreciate it. And can't wait to do the retreat with you coming up on November 7th. It's going to be so much fun, as always.
It's like always my pleasure. And yes, I am so looking forward to our event.
Absolutely. So just one final comment from me, which is a quote. As you all know, if you've listened to any of my other shows, I love ending with a quote. And this one, this one is, you know, in particular references or is in with regard to procrastination. And this is by the author Paulo Coelho, and I hope I'm pronouncing his name right. He's the author of the book The Alchemist. And this is what he says. One day you will wake up and there won't be any more time to do the things you've always wanted. Do it now. And so one thing I would add to that is, like Anna so put it so well, as far as get help. You know, if you need help with getting over procrastination and you just, for whatever reason, can't seem to figure out why you seem stuck in that particular area, definitely reach out to a coach or maybe a trusted friend or someone that you can talk it through with and get the help that you need to move forward in that right direction so you're not stressed and overwhelmed. So thank you again for listening in. And if anyone would like to reach me, you can contact me at info, that's I-N-F-O, at Sharissa.com. sharissasebastian.com, and my website is sharissasebastian.com. So the other thing I wanted to point out is that this link, or link to my website and Anna's website, on the page, it's basically on the page that you use to listen to the show. So if you go to that page and just click through, you'll be able to get to our websites easily, as well as the Stop, Smile, Breathe Retreats page as well. And I've also included the code that I mentioned earlier, that discount code for half off the second ticket. It's also on the page you use to access this radio show. And again, we would love to see you out there on November 7th. So to find out more about Life Coach Radio Network, you can go to www.lifecoachradionetwork.com. You can also find more information on our coaches and future shows there. I'd also like to take this opportunity to let you know about some of our upcoming shows, and two in particular. One is on October 28th at noon Eastern, and this show is entitled Think Tank, Letting Go and Moving Forward. And this is with certified coach Jan Jaffe. And then the next one I wanted to let you know about is on November 11th, also at noon Eastern, and that's the show entitled Your Best Life, again with certified life coach Jan Jaffe. So thank you all so much for listening in, and I hope you got a ton of good information from this show. And again, feel free to reach out to me or Anna if you have any questions or comments, and I look forward to hearing from you. So have a great rest of your day, and I hope to see you out at one of our retreats. Much peace, love, and blessings. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Anna.
Bye, Sharissa.